1-1.
This is the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Welcome to the 311 Radio Show here on VOB 92.9 FM. Trust you've been having a wonderful Sunday as you stick with us here on VOB 92.9, Voice of Barbados. I am Krista J. Paul, and of course, it's the 311 Radio Show. We have with us the Barbados Fire Service, and we have Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford.
A pleasant and beautiful good afternoon.
And we also have Officer Sobers.
Good afternoon, Barbados.
Officer Sobers, please remind us of your title.
Yes, Fire and Life Safety Officer Sobers or Sobers Sir.
Sobers Sir, okay, all right.
Yes, Sobers Sir.
All right, so thank you so much for being with us today. Now, let's get right into our topics of discussion. There are a few things that you wanted to address, Officer Ford. Can you go ahead and do that?
So where do we start? One of the things that we recognize has been happening, we know that there have been fires, people are still indiscriminately burning. And, of course, where there is smoke, there's fire. People will say, where there's fire, there's smoke. And one of the most dangerous things that we can do, especially in an environment where the smoke is so, what we would say, thick, that you can hardly see in front of you. In some cases, you cannot see in front of you. And you decide that you're going to proceed to drive through that smoke. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will try that and err on the side of caution. They will probably go slowly because they don't know what is ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And then we have the daredevils, you know, the ones since Hollywood closed down that want to create their own Hollywood here now in Barbados. Mm-hmm. They're going to take this opportunity and they're going to drive through there as fast as they're possibly they can. Now, we had some officers at St. John Station. They were out at a grass fire, and the smoke was so thick, the officers said at one point in time, they could not even see the appliance.
Wow.
Yes, because that's what we do, we walk away from the appliance, and you know you're trying to extinguish the fire, you can always be there. They said the smoke was so thick.
Yeah.
And what happened, one of the officers was, he was in an area where it was not too, visibility was not too bad. And from what was said to me is that this driver came through and he wasn't one of these cautious ones. He was one of the daredevils. And he proceeded to just drive through at a, I don't know, not a cautious pace. I wasn't there with my radar gun, so I can't tell you how fast he was going. No. When he did that, two things could have happened. He could have met oncoming vehicles, somebody who's probably trying to do the same thing. He could have ended up in the back of the appliance. When I say appliance, I'm not talking again about a stove or a fridge. We're talking about the fire truck.
Right.
Or he could have injured one of our personnel. I think somebody was able to flag him down a little further, and, you know, that's not the way to do it. And this person proceeded to tell these officers where they came from.
Whoa.
Now, this is totally unacceptable. And I'm only sorry that they did not get the license plate so that they could have made that the subject of a report. The officers did not start the fire. They're out there trying their best to contain it to stop other people from having to inhale all these other products of combustion.
Toxins.
Which, as he say, toxins. I'm trying to be so mellow. Trying not to burst the artery at this point in time. But it absolutely peeves me to see that we are out there, we're trying to carry out a service. And this is the kind of response and this is the kind of behavior that you're going to get from general public. But again, when I say that, let me say to all those other persons out there who normally would do the correct thing, This in no way means you. I'm not targeting you. We want to applaud you for your, we just call this, though, your carefulness.
Caution. Your caution. But, I mean, that is really something because, you know, this common sense is not common.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
That is something that one would think everybody would know to do. If you see thick smoke, even if you don't want to, even if, God forbid, you don't want to care about anybody else, care about yourself, driving through thick smoke and you think, okay, I don't want to scratch my car, I don't want to hit anything, suppose there's a vehicle, I can't see, you know, all kinds of things could be happening. And we really do need to proceed with caution. And the fact that somebody would have cursed out or told, as you said, told the fire officers where they came from.
Yep.
Yes, that really is not acceptable. Is that something that happens from time to time?
Well, I would need the officers to come back and to give their log on. But I can tell you on one or two occasions, we would have stopped people, especially when it was working on the station. Yes, you would have seen it. But when you stop persons and you explain, you know, what you did there was not the wisest thing, was not the brightest thing, they apologize and they would say, you know what, I really wasn't thinking. It was just probably concentrating on getting out of the smoke or something like that. They recognize the error of their ways. And they would apologize and say, you know, no hard feelings, yes. But then when you know you are wrong, you want to be wrong, as we say, wrong is strong. I mean, that is something else totally different. Suppose you had hit one of those officers, then what would you be saying today?
Yes.
What would you be telling that person? If you had ran into the back of the appliance, damaging your vehicle, minimal damage, but then you, on the other hand, what would you say? It is absolutely ridiculous sometimes the way that people don't think, because I don't think it could be a case that you were thinking. So it would have to be don't think.
Yes.
I think it's a case that persons, when they see thick smoke, they automatically think getting through the smoke as quickly as possible and not inhaling it. But on the flip side, you have to consider that there are persons who might be there working. You don't know what's happening on the other side of the smoke, and you have to be considerate of other road users as well. And even outside of fires, I mean, there are numerous cases of my colleagues either stopping traffic or trying to tell someone to slow down. Even as simple as you're replenishing, you're topping up the truck with water, and persons will come to speed in and splash the water right up on you that you're just, you're there working.
Seriously?
I remember, yeah, and they don't even stop. They just speed through, and all the water splashes on all the personnel who will be there working. Or trying to get back to the scene to continue fighting the fire. I remember even a few years ago when, as I said, Ford and myself would have worked at Worthing's Fire Station my first couple of years from recruiting. And she would have stopped this driver outside the station so that the appliance, the fire truck, could reverse back into the station from, I think that day we had like 4 or 5 fires. So we were tired and extremely hungry. So anytime you return to the station, the personnel get off the appliance and they would stop the traffic so that the appliance could safely reverse back in. And this person decided, you know what, I see her in the middle of the road, I see the truck reversing, but I cannot wait. And the person speed through, and she literally had to jump out the road to avoid being hit. And then there are also instances of some of my colleagues who would have been struck by cars or by the barely near misses or even got struck by the mirror of the car, struck their hand or struck their foot because they jumped out the way to avoid being hit. And the person don't stop. The person just go on. So it's like, these are things that I'm sure not even just us, but probably some of our other emergency services workers might even be enduring. So I'm pleading to the public of Barbados, anytime you see any emergency service worker, fire service, police, ambulance, you name it, and they're telling you to stop, be considerate. You don't know what it is they're shielding you from or where they're stopping you, but you must think that they're doing this. You must study that they're doing this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
to protect you and to protect themselves and their colleagues from something.
But that also brings me back to another incident. We weren't even at a fire. I think we were going to do an inspection. At that point in time, it was Lisa and Station Officer Vaughn. And Station Officer Vaughn had crossed the road ahead of us. I think I had just parked the vehicle, so Lisa and this is Prescott. We were together. We were just about to cross the road. Mm-hmm. And this guy, this was down, and then down by the port. Down there by where the is going to board the cruise liners and things.
Right
down there, so.
Yes.
And I get laughed at it now. But I remember we were crossing the road, mm-hmm. and this driver, I mean, he was far off from us, and we were crossing. And you know, when we started to cross the road, we actually saw this man start to speed up. This man actually speeded up. And if me and Lisa did not run across the road, I think it would be probably, you know what, a memorial at some point in time. Why would you see two officers, and I mean we were in uniform. Mm. You see two people crossing the road, and you are going to speed up. Mm. I remember Station Officer Vaughn, he went back. He went trying to identify who the person was. We were not able to at that point in time. But these are things that we are faced with. These are things that happen. So when officers come in, it doesn't necessarily have to be at a fire. Mm-hmm. But that taxi driver, I would not forget. And yes, I do have the number still in mine.
You do?
But why? Of course I do have it. Wait. You try to lick me down. And I can remember the number.
Okay,
go with God. Go with God.
Yes, go with God. Amen.
But it just goes to show we have people out there that things can be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
My instinct probably would have been to go on the brakes. But his instinct was, you know what? Let me go on gas. I don't know if he thought that he was at a bowling ring. We were the pins, and he was just aiming to... I don't know what his thinking at that point in time was. But these are the situations that we are faced with.
So the overall appeal is for, I mean, basic respect for humans, and even more so for officers, because this is not the first time you're talking about people who have disregarded or disrespected the office of the Barbados Fire Service. You talk about even when you go to do fire and rescue, or more so rescue, and people are having their own thoughts and opinions and so forth. You know, people may be looking out for their own interests, or maybe thinking that their wisdom is greater than yours, or their knowledge mm-hmm. is greater than yours when it comes to rescue. But let the Barbados Fire Service do their job. And give them this space, the respect that is due while conducting their job. Because,
you know,
that is...
No, I was going to say, basically, you know, we have a saying, everybody's an expert. Once something happens, everybody immediately becomes an expert that.
Yes. So in the case with the cars, you talk about the license plates. Hopefully you can get these license numbers and be able to make some kind of report.
Of course.
You have a report. Yes. Because that is unacceptable, as you said, and that absolutely needs to be dealt with. And so we want to make that appeal to the public to be more respectful. And this is not something that you want to have to say. This is not something that you relish saying, because... Respect is due, you know. Respect is due for a human. Respect is due. Somebody in authority, respect is due. But you know, not everybody will remember this, and so some people may need a little reminder. And so it's important to just state that respect is due to the Barbados Fire Service, the officers, and I know that we're not talking about everybody. Everybody knows that. Okay, if you know, in Jamaica we have a phrase, you throw a stone in a hog pen, the piglet licks squeal.
Right? Who is that?
Right? Who the cat fit, let
them
wear it.
Let them wear it.
So, obviously, we're not talking to everybody, but there are those bad apples that, you know, need to be.
That just tend to taint the whole picture, yeah?
Right. So just to make that appeal. So thank you very much for bringing that.
And I think our job is already a high-risk job. It is already high-risk as it is. When persons are running from certain things, we are running too. Tell me, who's sane person, really? To be a fire officer, you have to be a special person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so serious. It's a calling. Because most things that people want to avoid, most things that people don't want to be around, there you are. You're faced with it. You can't say, no, I'm not doing it. That is your calling. That's what you have signed up to do. So you have to go and do it. But that then at the point in time, once it's finished, you then recognize, you know, wait a minute, I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yes, really?
Yeah.
Like, what did I just do?
Wow. Because it is, I guess a lot of persons don't realize, but a lot of times fire officers go way beyond the call of duty and they break some of the same rules that we say, all right, we're not supposed to do this, we should not do this, but in the interest of ensuring that we do the best job and that we protect the lives and property of Barbadians and people who we are looking out for, we go way beyond.
Yeah. Now, let me just clarify that. We don't break the rules. We improvise. You don't get me chased away. We improvise.
Sorry. When they say we, I meant French. Four normally breaks the rules, and I'm the one who normally...
Oh, my goodness.
You see why you need to get Jason back here? See why you need Jason?
Oh my God! Listen,
but
the camaraderie is something else.
Oh dear!
Yes. So we definitely need to just bear that in mind, and we thank you for really answering the call. Because as we've said in previous programs, it takes a special person to be a Barbados fire officer, and a fire officer on the whole. It's a calling. And it's a different breed of a person who will do it. It's not for everybody, and it's not a job. And you are people with families, your husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, just the same as everybody else, and you have your issues to deal with. So when you go to tend to fires or rescue situations, and then you have people who are making it even more difficult for you, it is not... It's an extra burden, added burden. And so, you know, I want to appeal not just to those who do this, but to those who see those who do it, and to, you know, especially if you know the person, so listen, you need to have better respect. Let's stop that. Yeah? So let's make that appeal.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show. Protecting life and property.
On the Barbados Fire Service, 311.
All right, you wanted to also talk about the burn permit. We had started talking about that last week, but for those who have missed the information, especially since it's new, if you just want to backtrack a bit, you now have the burn permit, which is needed for burning. Could you give us a little bit of a background as to what made it come about and what it is really and so forth?
Well, over the years, and we've recognized, you always hear us talk about indiscriminate burning, persons just burning haphazard, persons just burning for the sake of burning. If they have to, leaves that just blow up the tree, they burn it. If they just take a parcel out of a bag, they burn it.
Amazing thing.
Not only Bajan. I wouldn't have you criticize my people like that. Now, on the air on the side of caution, one of the things that the Barbados Fire Service, you know, we've been constantly telling persons out there, there is a no-burn policy. if there's any burning that should be done, that you need the assistance of the Barbados Fire Service. We also do control burning, where you have the truck on standby and the officers, they actually do it for you. So it is safer. We have now, this is the dry season drought, as many farmers are out there crying out for. And with high winds, when you go there and you light a fire, it doesn't take anything for that fire to spread. Some persons are doing it. They're not mindful of how around them it's situated. They have a lot of dry grass. They have other things maybe too close to the house. And this would be whether wooden house or whether it be wall. Because if it's a wall structure, so what? If it's a wall structure, yes. So you have the eave there. So the eave is most of the times what? Made of some type of wood. You have curtains inside the house. There's something called transmitted heat. Well, sorry. Give me the word again, Silvers.
No.
My English gone.
But for it, I was going to ask
transferred
you.
Transferred heat.
No, I was going to ask you if you breathe anytime during that whole breathe. But go ahead.
Right. You see what you need to. Okay, then. So the purpose basically of this burn permit is to stop the mischievous persons out there, or to help to reduce the effects that these persons cause on persons with respiratory problems. Again, persons with asthma, persons with allergies, and other such conditions. We have persons burning rubbish. We have persons burning grass, and it doesn't necessarily need to be that. Find an alternative method. If it's the case, we talked about, was it compost?
Composting,
we had exactly. We had was Marsha Burt from St. George Primary School, the 4-H. She came and she talked about that. So basically, what the burn permit is for, or let me say, persons who've been calling asking, so it means that every time I want roasted bread fruit that I need to get a permit. No, it doesn't apply to you. The permit is not for the heating or the cooking of food. Persons who do campfires for heating and cooking, it doesn't apply to those persons. It doesn't apply if you have a pig at home and it died and you want to roast it to get rid of it, or a dog or something like that. It doesn't refer to the burning of carcass animals. Pardon?
You have to make that clear.
I have to make that clear.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have an animal that died at you, cat, dog, I don't know if you do the same thing with horse or cows. If it's residential, so be it. It is not, you don't have to acquire a permit for that reason. If I'm going according to what was given to us, the information that was given to us, you don't need a permit for that. You don't need a permit for heating or cooking or food. You don't need a permit for the campfires if you're heating and cooking food, or for the destruction of the carcass of animals.
Or a bonfire if, like, a gathering and you want to do a bonfire.
If you want to do a bonfire and it's just a gathering that you want to be dancing around the place, then that is a no-no.
Okay.
It has to be for a reason. In a case like that, you would need to apply for a permit.
Okay. All right.
Again, it goes to, when we're talking about seeking a permit, you know, sometimes we put what we call derelict houses, houses that are abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Persons before used to take it upon themselves. Nobody lives there. The parrots live in there. The rodents coming from there, and they burn it. If you want to do something like that, you have to obtain a permit. The burning of domestic and industrial rubbish, you have to acquire a permit. The burning of, what was it, what do they call it, coated wire?
Coated wire, yeah.
Right. You can't just burn like that anymore. You would need to seek a permit for doing that. And for those persons who like to burn grass, especially for agricultural purposes, let me stress on that. Yes, you would need to also acquire the permit. Now, in most cases, these commercial permits are for a year. The residential permits are on a need-as basis. So it is not a case that for residential purpose, you get this permit and it allows you, you're then given a free go-ahead to just burn. Because I think that would definitely defeat the purpose of Barbados Fire Service. There is a no-burn policy and Right. That is just like opening up the door to say, you know what, yeah, you can burn this, you can burn that, you can't. And that is not what we're trying to advertise. That's not what we're advocating either. And before these permits are issued, because we have a lot of people calling, a lot of people coming in, and they're, I come to pay for a permit. It doesn't work like that. The process is, for those persons who are online, who have access to a computer, they can go on the fire service website. They go to,
www.fireservice.gov.bb. www.fireservice.gov.bb.
Right. So after you go to that, then you're going to go to fire prevention and code enforcement. You're going to see some tabs. You go to fire prevention and code enforcement. When you click on that tab, it then brings you to another page. You go straight down to the bottom of the page, and you're going to see electronic form. When you click on electronic forms, you're going to see burn permit.
Okay.
Click on that, and you fill out the application online. Officer then is assigned. The officer will come and make sure you put in all the information. Information such as, we need to know the address, so that is important that you put that in. The purpose for the request and where the burn location is. The expected date of the request and the time that you will be looking at. Now, when you fill all the requirements and it goes to the officer, an officer would get in contact with you. He has to do an assessment of the area that you're talking about. If it is approved, then he will say to you, yes, you have permission. You will come in, you pay for the permit, a permit will be issued to you. So let me say to those persons out there who are saying that they've received permits to burn in this, and no permits have been issued as yet, none, zero. So those persons who are out there just burning willy-nilly and saying to people, you know what, we have a permit to burn, that is not true. Persons are out there, again, burning for some really silly reasons. When you ask them, why do you need a permit? Some of the reasons that you get, I'm like, are you seriously thinking? Oh, my neighbor is burned every Saturday, so I want you to feel the effects of it.
Oh, no.
Now, if that's the case, so you want to lend somebody money with pocket, I mean, what's that? Lend somebody money with pocket? Lend somebody money. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the adoptive family. Was it?
Yes, the clothing.
Yeah. Go and put some money inside that account. There is not a valid enough reason to want a burn permit. So the reason for the permit, as we said, is to discourage the willful and indiscriminate burning and the lighting of open flames in public places. So persons who are accustomed doing barbecue grilling and such, like, they would also know how to apply. And this is on the commercial side. Those persons who are on Friday night, Saturday night, those persons who probably do the, we call it the hog head, the pig head, and the sauce and whatever else. So it's like those persons would need to apply because that is seen as commercial-wise now.
Right, okay. So we're going to have to wrap up at this point.
Right, so you can breathe.
Yes. Thank you very much for sharing with us for the 311 radio show. Fire and Life Safety Officers, Natasha Ford and Sobers.
Thank you very much, and do have a pleasant and beautiful Sunday.
Stay safe, stay home.
Yes, good message. Thank you for that as well. And I'm Krista J. Paul. You can listen to the podcast of today's edition on VOB929.com, and you take care. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.